welcome back. We're heading towards the end of Capricorn season. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So yeah, we're literally, I think, a day away. We're nearing the end of Capricorn season, which might have come as a bit of relief. We have a lot of that masculine Saturn-ruled energy, since we have a ton of planets in Capricorn right now. We have Mercury, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto. And, you know, the Sun is in Capricorn, so it's a lot of, and Capricorn's ruled by Saturn, so we have the Sun tomorrow, on Monday, moving into that Uranus-ruled air sign of Aquarius, which is most likely going to be a little bit of a relief, a little bit of a softening into that more free-flowing Aquarian energy. When we think about the age of Aquarius, which we're in right now, it's often explained as moving towards unification as a collective versus that competition, every man for himself mindset of Capricorn. And we inherited that. So we're still moving away from that. And that's kind of where a lot of, the collective really still is kind of in that Capricorn matrix that we've been programmed to work that way. But Aquarius also focuses on our worth coming from within rather than from that work we do externally. I saw a really great t-shirt this guy was wearing in the Orlando airport when I was flying back from an event last week, and it said, human being, not human doing. And I thought, wow, that's very Aquarius versus Capricorn vibes right there on that t-shirt. Of course, Aquarius being the human being and Capricorn being the human doing part of that equation. During my Saturn return and then Saturn and my Sun sign back to back, which is basically Saturn beating the shit out of me, the universe beating the shit out of me is what it felt like. I also, in this time period, dated a very broken Capricorn, and she valued work above anything else and attempted to win me back after leaving like she was negotiating a finance deal or trying to close a contract. Needless to say, this never worked with me, and it left me feeling like Pretty Woman, and not in that glam, happy ending way, in the money and gifts shoved at you, making you want to be free of the whole situation way. So yeah, I was a little anti-Saturn and anti-Capricorn for quite a while after that time period in my life. But after a lot of healing work and metaphysical studies that I've done around astrology, I've come to realize that much like people, all signs have light and shadow to them and all have lessons to offer us if we kind of lean in and are willing to receive them. So those of us who are a little bit more on the rebellious, creative, intuitive, and divine feminine side of the spectrum can often struggle with the rules, regulations, that workaholism, and masculine energy of Saturn-ruled Capricorn. But Saturn and Capricorn do help to crack the whip to get us going when we need it. It's no coincidence that after the jolly, decadent, eat and party vibes of Sagittarius and Yule, that, you know, then we move into January, which is Capricorn season of New Year's resolutions, new exercise regimes, and, you know, back to work vibes. Personally, though I obviously love Sag season more than Capricorn, I've now decided to really lean into that energy of the cosmos and work with it rather than fighting it. So at the beginning of the month, I slapped a sparkly Saturn sticker over the Apple logo on my laptop. I tapped Horehound oil for mental clarity and quick action on it 5 times, 5 for the number of the Hierophant, life lessons, and structure. Also, there are 5 beats to Britney's chorus. So that was my embracing Saturn and Capricorn slash my you better work bitch spell. But now that we get to move into that fluid air energy of Aquarius, and while we'll go over this more with the February overview more in detail, but I just wanted to give you a little spoiler alert. February is going to bring us, and you know, Aquarius season, which actually starts much sooner on Monday, is going to bring us that star card energy. According to the Order of the Golden Dawn, the star card is ruled by Aquarius, and that's really the card of renewed hope and faith. The star card also reminds us of divine timing and the magic that we can call in when we work with that. So I didn't want to get too off track. I just wanted to give everyone a little astro update as well as something to look forward to around the corner with the star card, because it's one of my favorite major arcanas. But let's go back through the cards for January. We still have the freaking devil card, kids. That Capricorn ruled, according to the order of the Golden Dawn card, the Devil, which represents aspects of the shadow that involve temptation of vices, addictions, destructive emotions, and other just self-sabotaging behaviors. However, the biggest lesson is the Devil is that we still have the free will and choice to either autopilot cave to those temptations or really go into the shadow and kind of release our self-limiting beliefs. Like in the OG card, how, you know, there's that couple, this naked man and this naked woman tied to the Devil in the Smith Rider Waite version. When you look closely, those shackles that are tying them to the Devil are actually pretty loose. And, you know, the message in that card is that we can untie ourselves from these beliefs through, you know, these patterns and behaviors in order to walk away from toxic relationships, people, or situations that just aren't healthy for us. And this month, if it hasn't already, the Devil may show up in the form of exes, temptations for habits that you already have kind of moved away from or that you know are bad for you. But beware, because the downside of the Devil is that it's often something you kind of want to engage in. It's not like in Ten of Swords, or even Eight of Cups, it's like you're already walking away. You know, Ten of Swords is like, kill it, death of a bad idea. Eight of Cups is like, I know it's my time to go. The Devil has this like sexy kind of, you know, intoxicating, like, come play with me. So that's the downside, is it may be something that you kind of are drawn to. But, you know, it may bring in the temptation to kind of revert into those shadow behaviors, but we are in that 2020 year of the Emperor strength. So we're now much stronger and more clear on what to do than we may have been when we engaged with these Devil energies in the past. And the Devil, you know, it can be an ally, like a super hard, I always think of Professor Snape. This card is Whitney Houston in my deck because it's all badass bitches. But if I made a magical mofos, it's almost like Professor Snape and the light side of the Devil, because it's like super hard on you and like, oh my gosh, beats you down sometimes, but it actually can make us so much stronger and more aligned. Okay, on to our second card for January, which was pulled from the January 1st, 2020 overview, which is the Ten of Wands reversed. Either way, this card is about success and completion, because it's ruled by that 10th major arcana card, the Wheel of Fortune, which is about evolution and transcendental completion. Ten of Wands upright is a success that just is kind of a lot of work to get there. It's about, you know, something that took a lot of hard work and energy, and it feels like work. It's like this person that ran a marathon and they look like they're going to drop dead, but they won the marathon. But we have the reversal, which I always prefer, and that really means that the successful outcome is still on the way, but we get to have a lot more fun in the process. It's Ten of Wands reverse is a lot more about balance. It's, you know, it's kind of enjoying the process, enjoying the journey, having fun along the way, not fully being, you know, like, well, I know this is going to be hard, but the payoff's going to be worth it. It's like the journey can be just as worth it as the destination, is the message of Ten of Wands reversed. And this month, this card offers a little reprieve. This card makes it a bit easier, probably, to hold strong through some of those temptations for sabotage that the Devil might bring into us. If Ten of Wands upright was working with the Devil, it would most likely indicate that we could clear sabotage, but it would be like that really challenging, like white knuckling, like, okay, this is horrible, but I've got this. Whereas the reversal is a little bit more like, hey, I see you, Satan. Yeah, no thanks, I don't want to play. So I'm really grateful that we have the reversal through the rest of January. That's going to kind of help ease us through this. Now let's take a look. I got to grab my cards, do some shuffling, put some energy in here. Let's take a look at our cards for the week. What does the universe want to show us for the week of January 19th through the 25th? January 19th through the 25th. Four of Cups. That's kind of crazy. Well, I was about to say this is so crazy, but it's not crazy at all, because we're all powerful witches here, and you know, all of this is interconnected. But it's a really interesting fact that this card just came up, because I kept pulling this card in really kind of integral parts of readings this past week for clients, and even I just dedicated a post to Four of Cups on Instagram because I was seeing the repetition of this card come up for so many people. All right, so Four of Cups. In the traditional Smith Rider Waite deck, this card shows this dude sitting under a tree, and he has like three empty cups in front of him, and then he has this random cloud appearing out of the sky, and it's like offering him a fourth cup, like has a hand extended like a bartender from the sky that's bringing this cup and offering it. And the guy who's sitting under the tree, he's not reaching out. So he's either ignoring or intentionally declining this offer. Astrologically, Four of Cups is the moon in Cancer. And this is why I was like, oh, this is crazy when we pulled this, because we just had that full moon lunar eclipse in Cancer. So it makes sense that some of this energy can still be, we can still be feeling it even though it already occurred, because the eclipse was, you know, a major impact, and we'll feel that for a little while. And also Four of Cups being the moon in Cancer, Cancer is ruled by the moon, and therefore both Cancer and the moon are very at home, very comfortable when they come back together in the constellation of Cancer. So Four of Cups, moon in Cancer, really strengthens Cancer's resolve, you know, because Cancer is, it's that crab, it's the chariot in the major arcana of like sensitive on the inside but strong exterior. So we still have that sensitive nature here with Four of Cups, but further tapping into that divine feminine lunar power to speak up, to assert ourselves, also to say no what doesn't, you know, no to what's not working, no to what doesn't feel aligned that's being offered to us. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this is Kim Cattrall. And this card is kind of that which is for you cannot go by you card. And the way that Kim kept saying no to making a third Sex and the City movie, even though there's probably tons of money on the table for her if she said yes, because of all the basic white bitches, myself included, that would go see it, she still was like, it's not aligned for me. No, no. And they would come back probably offering more money, trying to, and she was just like, no, that's Four of Cups vibes of like, even if it looks amazing on paper, I'm not feeling it. No. And I described this card in my earlier Insta post as avoid spiritual empty calories. That's kind of Four of Cups vibes to me. During the end of Capricorn season and post lunar eclipse, it can often, we can have these temptations. We're also, you know, in that Capricorn devil energy to get a quick hit of attention from whether it's a friend or a lover, an ex, or even a work opportunity, a client that doesn't really serve you, that you're like, I kind of moved away from it, I know, but like there might be a temptation, whether it's loneliness, whether this contact reaches out to you, very Four of Cups, and makes it kind of easy, like it's being served to you on a platter. But indulging in that Four of Cups energy when you know it's not aligned, I always say avoid spiritual empty calories, because it's like reaching for a Big Mac when your body is really craving a delicious organic farm-to-table three-course meal. Even if it's right in front of you, it's okay to use that strong lunar Cancerian energy to Four of Cups that shit and wait for real nourishment to come your way, because that's what you're really wanting and that's what you're worth and that is what is in alignment. So really channel the strength, that Cancerian strength in Four of Cups this week. On that note, let's move on to our Cardsy B questions for the week. I didn't have as many. I think I only have three or four. I usually have a ton come in. I don't know if you guys were all dealing with some crazy energies from the eclipse, if you're just super busy, no worries, but keep the questions coming. You know I love them, but I will go through the strong questions that I had. The first one came from Brazilica88 on Instagram. Hi, Cardsy. I know that you mentioned in the January overview that we moved in 2019 from the Hanged Man to the Emperor in 2020 because of the numerology of a new decade. I'm still a little confused by this because I can see how the Hanged Man and breathing into the unknown and new perspectives would make sense in leading to the following major arcana, the Death card of change and rebirth. But I'm struggling with understanding the transition from the Hanged Man to the Emperor. Can you please elaborate? Yes, and thank you. I think this is awesome because I think a lot of people get a little tripped up when we have new decades that kind of switch up the flow of the traditional major arcana cards. Because yes, you're right. We would have expected the Death card number 13 to follow Hanged Man number 12. And now we're in the fourth major arcana, the Emperor. So actually, when you look at the numerology, the last year, 2019, was Hanged Man and the Empress for readers that look at two cards. So there's Empress vibes in there. So the Hanged Man, number 12, or 1 plus 2 equals 3, the number of the Empress. And the Empress is that divine feminine receiving fertility, which, you know, that can alone, it would be Empress, Emperor. That makes sense, right? The Empress is like getting pregnant. The Emperor is like kind of like that foundation that the baby comes out to in the world. And a little, I guess, less literal analogy, it might be that in an Empress year, a project such as a creative work, a work of art, something you're producing, creating, a book even, could really flow through you. And that's kind of like when you're pregnant, when you think of the Empress being pregnant, whether that's with a physical life or creativity, you know, a mother isn't sitting there trying to make the baby grow. It's just kind of allowing, you know, allowing it to happen, allowing source, the universe, allowing your body to flow and let that come to fruition when it's meant to be. And so when we're in an Empress year, like we were in 2019, it's kind of really like letting that grow, letting it kind of come out as it needs to. And then in an Emperor year, you would go from that into structuring it, you know, so with a book, getting it published. If it's like you're a dancer and a singer, you know, it might be that you had all of these inspirations for the songs come to you. You're kind of in the flow, maybe writing them. And then in the Emperor year, you create the album, record the album. In a Hanged Man plus an Empress year, because we had a double-digit year, there was a little bit more to it. With the Hanged Man, it's that kind of let's just hang in there, see where we're headed. There was a bit more observing, breathing into some discomfort than actually doing last year. It required a little bit more stillness and reflection to tap into that divine feminine that is the Empress, to tap into your intuition and for the universe to kind of allow us to see how to proceed. So this year, the Emperor, again, is more of that masculine doing. So if you had ideas or inspiration from things that may have come to you in the Hanged Man year of 2019, the Emperor is really going to help us to organize these things and make them happen and bring them out to the world. I hope that clarifies a bit. That was a great question, because that can be tricky when we're in a single digit year a double digit year going into a single. All right, the next question. This one came from an email on my website. Hey, Cardzy, I love your podcast. I wanted to ask, you mentioned healers that you work with frequently. I know you're based in New York City. I'm in Connecticut, but I'm looking for someone that could possibly do long-distance healing work over the phone or FaceTime and doesn't have to be in person. Thank you so much, Violet. Hey, Violet. Yes, actually, many of the healers that I speak about and work with aren't actually based in the New York area. I'll link to all of these that I'm about to go through in the notes to this episode, so don't have to worry about taking notes or writing it down. Just check out the notes, and there's links directly to these individuals in the podcast notes section. All right, so first of all, my Sagittarius soul sister, TJ Ziegler. She does an incredible job with ancestral healings as well as spiritual gift activation healings, and she can do over the phone or in person. She's based in San Diego, so if you're in that area, she can do all these in person. But I've done my sessions, because I'm in New York and TJ's out in San Diego, I've done all of my sessions with her over the phone, and I found them incredibly impactful, so much so that I actually gifted several healing sessions as holiday Yule gifts to a couple of my best this past December, and that was like my gift to them, because I really wanted to share this healing and share TJ's expertise. The second healer that I reference often is Christopher Beaver, and he is a very talented shaman I work with. He was actually on episode 51 of this podcast. If you haven't heard it and want to get kind of a better feel for who he is and how he works, I would recommend listening to it. He is incredible. He's based in Telluride, Colorado, and he does travel all over the U.S. and I think the world, and sometimes he'll do group sessions, individual healings when he travels, but he also does telephone healing sessions as well. And Christopher works with various divination tools as well as leading his clients through shamanic journeying sessions. And then the third that I would recommend is, I'm trying to give you guys like a mix of different areas. So TJ is kind of, like I said, ancestral healing, spiritual gift activations, and Christopher is really shamanic in his approach, a lot of journeying. And Lake Lovelate is a fantastic channeler and medium who's based in Las Vegas. And so if you're looking for clarity around specific issues, or you kind of want to be able to get some messages from your spirit guides and hear them or have them translated more clearly, I would really recommend Lake. She's honestly the most talented channeler and medium I've worked with. I have worked with her over the phone as well, and I've also gifted sessions to friends that I felt would benefit from working with her, and they've said amazing things, that they've had really transformative experiences as well. So all three, different areas of specialty, but all three of them are incredibly talented, impactful healers, so check out their contact info in the notes to this podcast. All right, and our final question this week comes from Instagram at 5DTizzy92. Hey Cardzy, any advice for specific tarot and or spell work between now and the new moon in Aquarius on February 4th? Hey 5D Tizzy, awesome question. We're currently in a waning moon period since the full moon on January 10th. So we're in that until the new moon on February 4th. It's a really good time to work on releasing and clearing things, especially any blocks you might have, whether that's money blocks, love blocks, things that are blocking your self-worth and self-love, or just clearing any specific issues out of your life that you want to release and banish. One of my besties, Desi, and I, we both struggle, and I've talked about this on the podcast, we both struggle with eczema on and off. Like, you know, I'll go through periods where my skin is lovely, and then I'll go through periods, like literally this eclipse coming up just kind of boiled everything up to the surface for me. I know a lot of people were getting physical ailments and colds and flus as well. Mine often comes with this. Anyway, it's a really great time in waning moon periods for clearing and banishing. So I often work with my eczema doing herbal spell work, using mugwort directly on those patches, as well as in my spells, you know, burning the mugwort as well as putting it on my actual skin. So if you're working with specific intentions, this is a really good time to kind of align herbs or crystals that can elevate that. In terms of tarot spreads during this time, it's really beneficial, anything, again, you want to kind of release and clear and cleanse so that you're free of it moving forward. If you aren't sure what that looks like, what it is specifically, and you're kind of like, what is it that I need to release? A simple 3-card spread that would be good for this, just pulling, you know, in a line from left to right, 1, 2, 3, card number 1, what am I ready to release? Card number 2, what is blocking me from releasing this? If you have any resistance coming up, any kind of outside energies that are blocking this for you. And card number 3, what will I allow into my life if I am able to release this, if I work with this energy in the waning moon? In terms of crystals, blue topaz is great for this time period as well. It's really good for clearing emotional baggage. It's good for making peace with the past and kind of expediting evolution forward. I hope that this is helpful, and please keep the questions coming. I appreciate them, and sometimes I'll have a week where I have a ton and I can't get through them all, and other times, like this week, didn't have as many in my DMs. So please keep them coming. Anytime you think of them, I do try to archive them, and if they're not time sensitive about a specific astrology time, like a lot of this we had around the eclipses and the waning moon, but I do hold questions that are kind of universally applicable. So please just send them through anytime you think of them. Before we head out, as usual, let's just do a quick recap of our cards. This month, we have my least fave, the Capricorn Ruled Devil card, which might test our new goals and provide opportunities for self-sabotage, but we have some badass cards to counteract these temptations. Our other card for January from the 2020 overview is 10 of Wands Reverse, and 10 of Wands Reverse is really going to help us kind of face any of that temptation or any adversity with a lot more ease. It's also going to help us to wrap up any projects and move towards goals that we've set with less struggle and less strain. This week also brings us the 4 of Cups that we just pulled, which again, we've been seeing a lot about, it posted about, and it's really reminding us to feel confident in our worth and avoid those spiritually empty calories. You know, say no to any opportunities that arise that just don't feel on your level, don't feel right. It's okay to say no. Instagram Lives, still on Mondays. I'm so sorry I missed the last one. I was having some technical issues with my Instagram. I am back Monday night at 7:30. Some of you who DM'd me for readings because I wasn't online, I did provide them. So I hope you know I'm sorry, and I always feel so awful when I can't deliver when I say I'm going to be there. I will be back Monday, 7:30, Eastern time. If you haven't tuned in the past, this is a really great way to get your own live free mini reading. And if you can't be present for the actual live, you can send a question through on my Instagram, and the lives stay active for 24 hours. You can watch it after the fact and see your reading. I'm also starting to add more video content, as those of you who follow at Cardzy B have noticed. So if you have any themes or topics, whether it's, you know, certain cards, certain astrological energies and how they relate to the tarot, anything you want to see or hear about, again, DM me, hit me up on Badass Bitches Tarot through message, and I will try to cover as many of those as I can. Thank you so much for listening, as always. Happy very tail end of Capricorn season. And as always, stay magical AF.